on this Sunday is just share with you some of the things that God has been doing in different individuals' lives and couples' lives, and also in various ministries of the church. And so we're going to share some of those stories with you. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. There's something powerful about just sharing the good things that God has been doing. And I think it's going to encourage you today. So we're going to begin. There's about five or six, I think, that we're going to hear from this morning. Most of them are going to be by video. At the end, I'm going to interview one person live and then show a little video clip with that as well. But the first couple of people that we're going to hear from, two couples actually, are people that have been really encouraged and blessed through our between service prophetic ministry that we do here in the church. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this, in Harvest City Church, we are strong believers that every one of us can hear from God, that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we can pray, and we can hear God's voice. And it is phenomenal to be around people that are learning how to hear God's voice for the first time. And so we offer classes actually once a week, different times during the year, as well as weekend training opportunities to teach people really how to hear the voice of God, how to begin to prophesy and share with others what God is saying to them as well. And so over the years, we've had a team of growing prophetic people, people growing in their prophetic gifting, and we have really been blessed by this ministry as a church. Our church is, this ministry in our church is overseen by Diane Harrison and a team of about five or six people. And we have developed a team of people who can really hear from God in this whole area of the prophetic ministry. And so one of the things that we offer now is between services, once a month, we will do drop-in prophetic ministry, where our team of people pray over individuals and couples and just share with them what they feel like the Lord is saying. And so many people have been encouraged and blessed by that. And the first couple that you're going to hear from are Rocky and April Emus. I think I said that right. And April one time was looking for some encouragement and came to one of those between service prophetic times, and God really spoke to her and encouraged her. And this is a story of what God has done in her and Rocky's marriage as a result of this prophetic word coming to pass.
Yeah, I'm Rocky. I'm from Philippines. And we came here in Canada in 2015.
And I am April. September 2018, I joined in, I went to one of a prophetic ministry Sunday because I was like, okay, I'll try this. She was talking about, April, you are like a flower in a desert, in a very, very dry land, rooting and trying to survive, and yet you still have that flower within you. And another prophetic word was, are you, like, he asked me, like, are you in a relationship? With somebody right now? And I said, we are separated for like a year and a half. And then he said, because I think God is telling you that one day you will be both having this equal yoke. The equal yoke part of marriage is pretty impossible for me. Like, you know, first and foremost, like, I've been with him, and the whole entire time I was with him, I asked you to work with him, and you did, like, nothing happened. That was the time of my life when I was like, well, Lord, if you assured me that you could bring me to the still waters, bring me there now, because I'm tired. Like, I'm done. I don't want to be in this situation anymore. And I didn't hear any answer. Probably the most silent time. But I can see the enemy's face looking at me and telling me that, I know you're going to be defeated. And then I said, well, you know what? This is not the time when you're going to be that. Like, my God might not be super loud at this very time, but I know he's the kind of God who would prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I was holding on to that this is just a part of me being his sheep, and
Him being my shepherd.
On that journey was like one of the like darkest part of my life. I was so sad, and I thought that like the remedy of that troubled marriage, the remedy of my depression was to like get back to April right away. I thought that if we're gonna go back together, I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna feel okay. And then that's when I realized that that was not the case. Like the main thing was like God wanted me to go back and reconcile with Him. I was like spiritually drained and being away from God, and that resulted to lots of problems and lots of issues. At one point, I remember I was like doing a shower, and I was like thinking, God, what do you want me to do? I need you. I'm so down right now. I need your help. And then it's just so amazing how quick He would respond to my prayers and for me asking Him for help. That's when I realized that there's really no one else that can like help me. It's only God, and that's Jesus. Since then, a lot of people was brought into my life that even enhanced my like Christian faith and my spiritual journey through Jesus, and eventually our relationship got better also. So I was more patient with her. I was like, I had more self-control. Before I was like so like short-tempered, I didn't have that much patience. But after that, all those things happened, I was so patient with her. And then eventually we kept seeing each other already. Yeah. And then I started dating again, and
we would FaceTime and we would talk about like how God, what God is telling him at that time, and how I'm like, I can't hear him, I can't understand him. And he would say, do you want to pray together? And then we'd pray. And at the back of my mind, like, Lord, how is this possible? Like, how would he ask for a prayer? Like in my entire life, 9 years, 8 years of being with him, like, it's never a thing. And then now he's asking for it, like, out of nowhere. It's just that that equal yoke meant he was working his relationship with God, and I was working my relationship with him. And we just kind of worked on towards God and walked towards God and walked towards God. And then we just realized one day we're getting closer and we're getting closer and we're getting closer. And then we wake up one morning and we're together. And it was just filled with so much of like, thank you, Lord. Like the whole entire time when we thought you weren't there, like, you kept us okay. You kept us intact.
That's awesome. There we go. I know there's lots more to that story, but April, you're one of my favorite people to preach to. Every Sunday when you're there in the front row, you always look like everything I say is awesome. So I really appreciate that. So, anyways, so blessed to just hear what God is doing in your lives and to see that prophetic word come to pass. I loved how you guys described that. As you begin to pursue the Lord on your own, dealing with your own stuff, going after Jesus on your own, all of a sudden you look and there you were side by side. And I think that's such a powerful lesson for every married couple. You pursue Jesus on your own, and if both do that, you're going to find you're going to be walking side by side together. Dave and Janice Scandalberry were also people, a couple in our church rather, that we're blessed through the between service prophetic ministry, and so you're going to hear a little bit about their story as well.
Hi, my name is Janice Scandalberry, and right now I'm house mom.
Yeah, I'm Dave Scandalberry. I spent 35 years with Regina Police Service. After 1 year of retirement, I decided I got bored, and I'm now working security at the legislative building.
My son right now is 35, and so ever since he was, I would say, 16, 17, he's been walking his own path, right? And it's not with God. So that's always been tugging at our hearts to try to get him to change his life, turn his life around and everything. So as a child, he was in Sunday school. We went to church. So the upbringing was there, we thought. So to see this all fall apart, it was very hard.
Because we have been praying for our mm-hmm. son for many, many years. It's probably been 17 years. Mm-hmm. We prayed quite a while ago, asking God to take over his heart, because we felt that we could not help him anymore personally, mm-hmm. and we knew we needed God to step in and help out.
I was actually doing registration for the prophetic to happen that Sunday after first service, and they said, you know, we're not that busy. Maybe you and your husband, we're doing couples. Maybe you have time to grab your husband and get prophetic a word read over you together. They read over with both of us and just basically said exactly what we've been experiencing. Getting tired of always trying to do better but always failing, not achieving the goals we want to achieve. It was like a word straight from God, and he just said, Janice, I have his heart. In other words, I don't have to worry anymore about that, because that was my most concern of all things to go wrong. And God says he has his heart. I don't need to worry about that anymore. And he says that there's going to be a transition. There's going to be a new season for us. And he put us together in that comment, that we're going to step closer together as a couple and move forward in a new mission in life, and that the old is behind us. We don't have to worry about that anymore. That is such a freedom, and that is such a weight off my back, and it's like it puts air in my lungs, and I am good to go now. So at this point, it's like, let's look forward. Let's put our trust in God now. I think that's God talking to us, saying, you've been trying to do it on your own for so long. He knows we're tired, and he's saying he basically has him, and I don't need to worry. Three words that came to me were, I need to start being still to hear him. I'm going to have a change happening, and it's joy. It's going to be joy. The people who did the prophecy over us, I just want to thank them, because they gave us new hope in life.
And I just encourage people in the church, if you've ever thought about it, I know when we first came, I heard, what is this prophecy? What is this? Because we were in another church for many years and never heard this. So I encourage people, go forward, step out.
All right, I know that there's an upcoming prophetic ministry time in January, so we'll let you know when the next one is. But I really want to thank those of you that are participating in that ministry and give of your time to do that. I hear over and over stories like this of people who've been so encouraged and so blessed by what has happened there. All right, in our church, we have several ministries whose primary goal is to help bring healing and freedom to people in different areas of their lives. We are a church that wants to give hope to those that feel no hope, and we believe that there is hope in Jesus. We believe that there is power in Jesus to transform our lives. And we see that over and over happening in so many different people's lives. And so we have different ministries in our church whose sole aim is to help bring healing and help bring freedom to people. And so we have a ministry called the Genesis Process. We have another one called the Cleansing Stream. We have people that are involved in doing between service specific prayer ministry for people that are looking for freedom in different areas of their lives. We have a lot of counseling that takes place in the church. And all this is overseen by our pastor, Debbie Lachance. And so she's just going to give us a bit of an update on what God is doing in these ministries here in our church.
I'm Debbie Lachance, and I have been on staff here at the church for about 10 years, part of the pastoral team. So I oversee areas of healing like Cleansing Stream, Genesis Process, healing trauma, healing shame, individual counseling, and healing. It's been a fun ministry to be involved in. I came about being involved in this type of ministry through my husband and I were running a house church at the time, and we were ministering to people that were struggling with addictions and all sorts of things. And so I got involved in a Genesis process training. That was my first step, and I realized how messed up I was. I came to learn how to help others, and I realized the stuck places in my own heart. So it sort of launched me into my own journey of healing while ministering to others. We have seen this ministry grow as the need has grown, and many people have been finding freedom, so then more people are asking for ministry. So we've had to grow teams, and we've moved from, you know, just having a handful of people involved in this ministry to now we have between 40 and 50 volunteers. So we're seeing that as people go after the broken areas and the stuck places in their heart, that they are experiencing more freedom in their workplace, in their relationships, in their marriages, in just going after their call that God's got on their life. And as shame comes off, as trauma comes off, as the different places where we get stuck along our journey, we find freedom and come out of places of captivity, we end up just being able to walk out who God intended us to be from the very beginning. More and more we're seeing where we have been able to work alongside community resources and psychologists, psychiatrists, where we can kind of facilitate what they're wanting their clients to walk out. It's been encouraging to hear feedback from doctors and different professionals who acknowledge what we're doing here and the value of it. And there's truths that I've been able to anchor myself to and get rid of some lies that I believed about how God should operate and my job in it, and just surrendering that and that performance and needing to tick all the boxes in order to get healing or get the breakthrough that I'm looking for. So there's been some deep places that God has taken me this past year where, you know, I've worshiped Him with my tears and I've settled at His feet and surrendered to a deeper level and found out that his love and His grace truly is enough.
I should mention that with these ministries, we probably have over 50 people that are a part of prayer teams and facilitating those ministries as well. So it's been really neat to just see what is happening in the community in terms of the word going out. And there are people that don't even come to our church that are coming to experience the counseling and be a part of some of these ministries. And it's not uncommon for Debbie to come and tell me I was able to lead somebody to Christ in my office today who was recommended to come and see me because of what they're hearing has been happening here. So God is doing amazing things. All right, next we're going to hear from Janelle Ludwig. Janelle oversees the women's ministry in our church called Beautiful Bravery, and she's just going to give us a little update on what's happening there.
My name is Janelle, and I, just about a year and a half ago, took over the women's ministry here at Harvest City, and so it's called Beautiful Bravery. I started with it shortly after my son was born. He took a stint in the NICU, and I was home by myself for several weeks and was feeling really lonely and kind of like, oh, I wish Harvest City had something more frequently for women. And so it kind of all happened really fast. It was just me kind of like coming up with ideas on my couch, and then it like all came together in like a month where they're like, okay, we'd like you to take it over and do some more events. And we had like even just a really good turnout the first couple times. People were excited to come and see what was kind of going on with the women's ministry. And we've seen it grow. Like the first event, I didn't have a team at all. I didn't have anybody helping me. And now I have a team of almost 10 people. We've had a steady growth of people wanting to come to the events, and attendance has been great, as well as new people wanting to speak or join the team or help with like volunteering in different ways, or even just women stepping out and having their own ideas. Having different women speak was always the goal, because the title that we came up with Beautiful Bravery was really hitting on vulnerability, where that's a scary thing to do, especially when you don't really know people, is to be totally vulnerable with them. But that's an incredibly brave thing to do. God shared with, like, showed me that, like, how beautiful it is when you're vulnerable with other women or other people that you know or can connect with on a certain level, and being brave enough to come, or brave enough to share, or brave enough to meet somebody else. And so I've loved the aspect of that we've been able to bring in. So it's been great seeing the women of Harvest City kind of start coming together and making friendships. Yeah.
Awesome. Janelle has been doing a great job with that, along with the team that she's been assembling. So if you have not attended, if you're a woman and you haven't attended one of those events, keep your ears tuned in for the next announcement of the next event coming up. All right, God is also doing some amazing things in our men's ministry. That ministry has really exploded over the last number of years in our church, and it's overseen by Jim Kitney, as well as my father, and a group of men that are helping support them as well. And so Jim is just going to tell us a little bit about some of the amazing things that are happening in that ministry also.
My name is Jim Kitney, and I am the leader of men's ministry here at Harvest City Church. It's really an interesting story, because when I took offense with the church, Pastor Dave challenged three men to walk with me: Pastor Charles Greff, Alan Hilston, and a man by the name of Dick Clark. And those guys walked with me for 2.5 years, and God finally got a hold of me. I realized that how important it was to have men surround you who you trusted and could speak truth into your life and challenge you. And Pastor Dave approached me and asked if I would consider taking over the leadership of men's ministry. I had to say yes, because of the experience that I had personally, which if those three men didn't walk with me and carry me for those 2.5 years, I wouldn't be here today. Pastor Dave said to me, whatever it takes, make it happen. And I went back to Dave and I said, I'm thinking that we should have a men's meeting at 6:30 in the morning. And so we decided that we would have a men's group, a Bible study on Wednesday mornings at 6:30. And we ended up that this was called Wake Up Call with Pastor Dave. And when we first started, we had six men sitting around the table. Over the years, this Wake Up Call with Pastor Dave has grown so large that we moved to having another session on Thursday morning with a different group of men. In addition, we have a men's prayer meeting that's on the second and the fourth Mondays of the month, where men are coming together simply to challenge one another, encourage one another. When the men started to come together for this prayer meeting, that's when we really started to see the growth in men's ministry. This is the result of the discipleship that Dave has been doing with the men. So what's grown out of this is the Conquer series, which deals with the issue of pornography. We also have the Prison Fellowship, which has grown out of our Wake Up Call, and there is a number of men on that team. And that started out with them going out to the correctional center to minister to the gangs on Thursday night, and now that has so many doors have opened that they formed a partnership with Souls Harbor Mission. They're working on building partnerships with other churches, and they are now working with inmates who have been released from the correctional center. There's also Jeff Roll and Ross Perry, who are working with the Huawei Hot Dog Ministries on Saturday afternoons in the North Central area. And so those are three ministries that are the fruit of the Wake Up Call on Wednesday and Thursday mornings. There's many stories of guys who have come to the Wake Up Call and how God has got a hold of them, just myself included. And so it's proof that when God gets a hold of somebody, It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they've been. God can use them. And God is using many men. When you look at the different ministries that have been the fruit out of what started with six men sitting around the staff table in the staff room.
We also have a men's retreat that we'll be telling you about in February. We had one of those last year as well and had about 60 or 70 guys, I think, came out to that. And it was a powerful time. I think Ian Burt is the speaker for that this year. So we'll be letting you know about that in the days to come. Well, we have one more testimony. Riley, is this second mic going to work? We have one more testimony that I want to share with you. And so I'm going to interview Jeff Roll live. Where's Jeff? You want to come on up, Jeff? Jim mentioned Jeff Roll and Yahweh Hot Dog Ministry. Yeah, this is what it's like under the big lights here, Jeff.
Thank you.
So I just want to interview Jeff a little bit and give Jeff an opportunity to share his story. Now, I've been bugging Jeff. You probably like to talk more than I like to talk. So we got to get these people out the door at the right time here. So we're going to have to work hard to make sure we do this. But Jeff, I'd like you to just sort of tell the church what your life was like before Harvest City Church and what it was that actually brought you through the doors of our church. What have you been coming just over a year now?
Roughly around...
Hello? Testing? Okay, roughly around 18 months, roughly okay. In there, 16, 18 months. Before I started coming here, real quick, I'll tell you a little bit about my past. I grew up in a real hateful situation. My start with God was rape from an elder of a church. Through that, I ended up doing drugs and alcohol most of my life, and it's been a struggle my whole life. After that, I just to jump forward all the way up to today to make it quick. If you want to know more, you can approach me after. To make it quick, I met Corey Luke, and I asked him about his Christianity and his faith, and he talked to me about Harvest City, and I walked through the door.
So you're one of Corey Luke's tenants.
Yes,
is that true?
I am. Yes,
Corey,
I like to think
Corey
I'm more of a
friend.
Corey was
the bald guy leading worship here this morning. You're more of a friend. Is
yes,
that
I like to think that. I hope so.
Do you pay your bills? Jeff?
I pay my rent on time.
So you saw something in Corey's life?
In his eyes, I seen peace, and I just wanted that. I've been angry my whole life. And blaming God for everything that happened. And through Corey and through God working through Corey, he brought me here. And through your preaching, your dad's preaching, and like Jim said, the men's program in the morning there, the morning breakfast, I've learned so much that I don't have to be that person anymore. And even when I do have bouts of it, I can just turn to him and know that I'm forgiven. And that, no offense to anybody here, it doesn't matter what they think. It only matters what he thinks. Yeah. That's it.
So you get to know Corey Luke. You see something in Corey's eyes, and you think, I want to come to this Harvest City Church. Was there a moment in time, Jeff, where you can look back and say, that was the time I surrendered my life to Jesus?
Yes, there was. You were preaching about pouring the rain of fire on God. And I heard your story, and I when you did your altar call, it was one of the times you called people up to the altar. And I looked at my fiance, Melanie, and I said, I'm going up. And I came up, and I knelt down. That was about 4 months into my journey here. So as soon as I heard that, I came up here, knelt down, asked him to save me, turned it over to him. And here I am today.
It's great. So, Jeff, over this last year, what would you say are some of the areas where you feel like God has transformed you in the most?
I did the first part of the Genesis program, And through that program, I realized that probably the most important thing in faith is to forgive. How it says in the Bible, I believe, how can he lead you to the Father if you don't forgive? And through that, I learned to forgive the perpetrator of the rapes and stuff that I went through as a child from. And from that, it's just been a climb upwards. Like, but I don't want to stand here and paint a picture that everything's been a bed of roses, because it hasn't. It's been a struggle, just like it says in the Bible. And I go through that every day, every single day. Okay. So thanks to the people here, I can conquer it with God.
Amen.
Right.
So there are two conversations that I have had with you, Jeff, that kind of stick out in my mind. And one of the first conversations I had might have been the very first Sunday that you came to Harvest City Church, or one of them when I met you out in the foyer. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, this guy has been through some stuff in life. And I would be honest with you and say, I just felt like here is a real broken down individual. You were talking my ear off, kind of going in 100 different directions. I didn't even understand half of what you were saying, to be honest with you, Jeff. But there was something inside of you that was clearly searching for God. And when I fast forward a year into the conversations that we're having now, I can hardly believe it's the same person, in all honesty. And then there was a second conversation that I had with you that happened just after the Global Focus conference, and we're going to see this video here in a second. But in this video, Jeff was telling me that he was going to start a hot dog ministry out of his garage. I guess it's Corey's garage.
Mine now.
He was going to start a hot dog ministry, and I'm like, well, what are you going to do? I'm just going to give people hot dogs. And I'm just going to tell them what Jesus did for me. And I was thinking, well, that's awesome, Jeff, and I probably encouraged you to do it. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, this will never happen. Clearly, I was not hearing from the Lord, and you were. And a few weeks later, I found out that this ministry had been launched and was going ahead. And so we're just going, we sent a camera crew. That sounds really good. We sent a camera crew. I think it was one person and a camera. To Jeff's garage here a couple Saturdays ago, and just to kind of see what it's all about. So Jeff has painted up Corey Luke's fence with scripture verses and the garage door and all sorts of things. So you're going to get a little look at that, and then I'll talk to you just a little bit more. So why don't we just step to the side so we can see this here, Jeff.
I went to Global Focus last year. This is how this all came about. On the very last day of Global Focus, there was a man, I believe his name was Sheldon, was preaching from Newfoundland and talking about what our primary call is. And while he was talking and preaching to the congregation of Harvest City, there was a voice in my head. It was saying, you need to do a hot dog ministry. You need to use a hot dog to hook them in and tell them what I've done for you. And I was on my journey. I started going for it. I started telling everybody, this is what I'm going to do. I believe with all my heart, God led me to Ross Perry, because I had nobody to help me the opening weekend. No one was going to be able to come here and open up, and I was by myself, and I was kind of a little nervous. And so I just was walking down the hallway on the way to breakfast, and Ross was beside me, and I said, hey, what are you doing this Saturday?
For myself, I was, you know, asking God, you know, to use me some way. I was looking for a ministry, and Jeff one day came up and asked me if I'd be part of that. And I jumped at it, because I feel, you know, very privileged that he allowed me to, you know, to be able to share the gospel. That was something I was praying about, and so he answered that prayer. So,
you know, mostly what my job is here, I believe that God put me here because I'm a recovered drug addict of hard drugs and alcohol, and the people that come here are drug addicts and prostitutes, and I can relate. I totally relate to what these where these people are.
With, folks in North Central, who a lot of people, you know, haven't eaten for 2 days. It's a tough area to live in if you're relying on assistance.
When they walk by and they don't know that I'm here, I want to yell to them, come, have a hot dog. Let me fill you up with some God. Man, he can change your life if you just let him.
I think you got your shirt on underneath there, Jeff. You got to show us the...
I actually wore it because I was hoping you'd let me do a little plug on it.
Yeah, well, take it off. Let's see this shirt here. So what does it say on this shirt?
Breaking a button, I hope not. There. It says Yahweh Free Hot Dog Ministry, and then it has my address, 3410 Dewdney Avenue, and it's not about money, but we're always looking for donations, and we do the same thing as Harvest City. We will give you a t-shirt for a $20 donation. Corey gets the money, and it all goes into Yahweh.
All right. So just for curiosity's sake, how many do people come? How many people come to your garage on a Saturday?
Okay, in the springtime on a regular Saturday, it's always 100. And the biggest day was 162 people in total up to today. And you got to remember, we were closed for about 6 weeks to renovate and winterize it because it's a very old garage.
Corey needs to build you a new garage. Really.
Yes, he does. We would love to someday be blessed, and that'll come. But... we figure we've been close to either 4,000 to 4,500 people.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. We're very grateful.
That's awesome. I'm so glad that Ross has helped you out. And Ross is sitting there. And I know there have been some others that have come to help you with that as well. So, Jeff, maybe just in closing, you've mentioned what God has been doing in your life. Are there some areas that you're still looking for God for breakthrough in that we can be praying for you about as Harvest City Church?
Yes. I'm going to say this first, though, right? The truth sets you free, right?
It's true.
Okay, so the first thing I would love Harvest City to pray for me for is my anger and my temper. Sometimes it really brings me down. Let's put it to you that way. And that's, I know the enemy. Also, I have a pot addiction. That's my last addiction left, and I need help with that. And I know I can't do it alone. I just know I can't. I need God and my friends.
All right.
So, and trust me, it takes a lot to admit that.
Okay. So one of the things that I love about Jeff and one of the reasons why I wanted Jeff to share this morning is, you know, we talk in this church about living your call. We got the big slogan there on the wall, live your call. We talk about we want this church to be a place where people find hope, where their lives are being transformed, and then they're going to be inspired to take action. And Jeff kind of represents all three of those. He came here, he found the hope of Jesus. His life is being transformed, as are all our lives. But the thing I love about it is you don't have to have your life all together and have a Bible degree to start telling people about the love of Jesus. And so Jeff is doing that. And so, Jeff, I believe you're going to beat this pot addiction. I believe it. And I've already seen, I know even with the anger, God has been doing some amazing things as you've been forgiving and walking through that journey. But sometimes the enemy likes to hang on. But I'm telling you, you are not a slave to sin any longer. You are a new creation. The old is gone. And you're going to break this thing. And you're going to beat this thing. So I want to end this morning. Can we pray for Jeff? I want you to just come and stand there on the floor in front. I want some people to just come and gather around Jeff. And I know that this whole pot addiction has been something that he's saying, I need to break this thing. I've been doing this since I was a kid. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to set him free. So let's pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for Jeff. Lord, we thank you for bringing him through the doors of Harvest City Church. God, I pray that there would be many more Jeffs in the days and the years to come. Be many more of them, my God. And Father, we thank you for the transformation that you're doing in his life. Lord, we've seen your hand at work. And God, we believe that your word says that when you start something, you finish it. He that has begun a good work in you will complete it. And so, Father, we're asking today for the completion of the work that you've started. Father, I pray that this stronghold of anger would no longer be a thorn in the flesh of Jeff. God, that once was a weakness would turn into a strength, oh God. We pray that your peace would overrule in his heart. I thank you that you have given him a spirit of self-control, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-control. And Father, I pray that he would know a self-control like he's never known in the days to come. Father, I pray that where he used to respond in anger, that he would be able to respond with differently, with words of love, with words of kindness in Jesus' name. Every time, oh God. Father, I pray you would help him, particularly with his fiance, oh God, to really honor her and to treat her the way he knows that he should, oh God. Help him, oh God. Father, we pray for this addiction. Father, I thank you that you are the God that breaks every chain. Father, you are the God who sets the captives free, that opens the prison doors. And Father, where this addiction has been a part of his life since he was a kid, Father, I thank you that it is nothing to your great power. Lord, that can't stand against you, my God. And Father, I pray that you would give him the grace to say no. Give him the grace, Lord, to walk away. Give him the grace, oh God, to leave this behind. Father, I pray that there would be no more remnants of this addiction in his life in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that he'd be able to give testimony next year and say, that thing is gone. That thing just fell off of my life. I was able to beat that thing and break that thing in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your call that's upon his life. Father, you use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, oh God. And Father, I thank you for this disciple of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that through this man, you're going to bring many to Jesus. Lord, you said to Peter, come follow me and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And Father, I thank you that you're making Jeff a fisher of men. And God, I pray that he would be one that would bring hundreds and thousands into the kingdom of God as he tells the story of what you did in his life and just says, come and see. Come and see. Come and meet the man who changed my life. Come and meet the man who knew everything about me, oh God. So, Father, we thank you for him. Bless him today. Bless his relationship. Lord, bless him financially. Bless him in every area of his life, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, are you encouraged? God is doing great things. Well, why don't you stand to your feet this morning? This is the last Sunday of 2019, and so I'm just going to pray. And let's just ask God for many more miracles in 2020. Does that sound good? Why don't you just lift your hands towards heaven with me, and let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you've done in 2019. We thank you for every ministry of this church. I thank you for every person who ministers in this church. Lord, right from the greeting team to those who preach, to those who prophesy, to those who lay hands on the sick and work with the kids. And Lord, there are so many ministries and so many people involved. And I thank you, Lord, for every one of them. God, I pray that you would encourage and strengthen the hands of everyone who's been ministering and serving. God, I pray they would not grow weary in well-doing because, Lord, there is a harvest to be reached. And Father, I thank you for all the great things that are happening in this church. And I thank you, Lord, that it's only the beginning. Lord, you have so many more things for us to do and so many more lives to reach. And God, I pray that in 2020, we would reap a harvest of souls like we've never reaped before, my God. Father, I pray that there would be many Jeffs that would come through the doors of this church that would be transformed, that would find the hope that is to be found in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that there would be many that would be launched out of this church. Lord, even as you begin to speak to Jeff about this hot dog ministry, God, would you begin to speak to every individual in this church about what it is that you want them to do. Lord, there is a call and a purpose for every man, woman, and child. And Lord, I pray that there would be ears to hear and a desire to go, that there would be a response from our heart that would just say, Lord, here I am. Send me, use me in the sphere of life that I live in the circumstances that I walk in. Use me for your glory in this area, oh God. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would grow us, that you would give us the harvest that you've promised us, oh God. Father, we pray for this transformation series that we're launching in January. I pray that as the ads go on Facebook and go on radio, that there would be many that would come from our city that would say, I need to be transformed, that would hear about the hope that there is to be found in Jesus. And God, I pray that you would transform all our lives. Every one of us, Lord, has areas where we need to grow and be changed and where we want to become more like you. So God, transform us, change us, heal us, deliver us, set us free, launch us in 2020, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.